Ready? Okay. Thank you for coming. Is everyone having fun so far at Build? Yeah? Good. Well, how many VS Code users do we have out there? Raise the hands. Nice. Really good showing. Well, my name is Wade Anderson, and this session today is tips and tricks for VS Code, Visual Studio Code. What we're trying to accomplish today is to teach you how to become power users. Many of you are probably already power users, but if you're not, this will get you up to speed, and maybe you'll pick up, if you are a power user already, maybe you'll pick up some tips and tricks to make you even more productive in your editor. By way of introduction for Visual Studio Code, for those that maybe aren't familiar with the product, maybe you're just checking this out, let's talk about editors real quickly. On one end, we've got the text editor and developer tools, and on another end, we've got the IDE. And now some features, and this is going to be brief. Text editors tend to be more lightweight, fast, and often customizable, or more customizable than maybe their IDE cousins. So IDEs tend to be heavier but deeply integrated in certain text stacks or for certain languages. So we built Visual Studio Code with the idea that we wanted to land somewhere in between, move towards the text editor side. So we wanted to be a lightweight editor that pulled in the best features that we felt were missing in text editors from the IDE space. So this included debugging, IntelliSense, and other important editing tools. In case you haven't been keeping up with what's been going on with Visual Studio Code, let's review some of the recent highlights. Switch over to my other screen here. So in November at the Connect event, we open sourced the product. So this is our GitHub page. We've had great open source energy around the product, nearly 12,000 stars and 1,500 forks. In November, we also completed our extensibility story. So here's the extensions marketplace. You can see a search of over 800 different extensions with lots coming from the community and many from partners within Microsoft. So here's some of the most popular ones recently added. This one came out just last night, a C++ one we're really excited about. Many other debuggers, languages, linters. So we're really excited about where Visual Studio Code has gone in the last few months with this extension story. Here's our site. If you haven't downloaded the product, we want to invite you to, and you can do that right here at code.visualstudio.com. Today I'm going to be using the Insiders build. So here if you click Download and then go Stable, the Insiders tab right here, you can get the Insiders build. We're going to start updating this weekly so you can stay on top of the latest bits. To finish off the highlights, three of the most recent things we've completed that may be of interest to you is we swapped out the language service with the new Salsa JavaScript language service, which has really improved the IntelliSense for Visual Studio Code in JavaScript and TypeScript. We finished code folding, which was came by popular request, and we're really happy, and we'll be looking at that a little bit today. And we finished localization and accessibility. So the latest build, which will be going out soon, will have these features in them. Okay, diving into tips and tricks. So I created this repo, and it's public, so you can go and clone this after the presentation or right now if you want to on your computer. And this is going to roadmap the rest of our session today. So we're going to go over some basics, what I feel are the fundamental skills in Visual Studio Code to make the most of it, different ways you can customize the editor in your liking, for your liking, extensions, file and folder management, and all on the way down, IntelliSense debugging. We'll be using this demo code, which is also in a public repo, so it's /Microsoft and then VS Code React sample. And I'll put these on they'll be on the last slide today, so you should be able to get those easily. It's a simple to-do application using some of the latest, hottest open source technologies. So we're using React, this Material UI components, and Webpack for our build. It will have has a back end, a Node back end, and then on the front end, it's using Webpack's development server. So we're going to use that code as we're going through today. So diving in, let's go over here to our editor. The fundamental feature that every power user of VS Code should be comfortable with is the command palette. So the key binding for that, and you don't need to remember these key bindings. This is the only key binding I want you to remember, is F1 goes to the command palette, which has all of the commands for Visual Studio Code. So you can scroll down here. And why you only need to remember this key binding is because this is how you learn all the other key bindings. Over here on the right side, you can see the key bindings for each of these commands. So if I want to look up something like, let's open this to-do store, and I want to fold my code, I can look fold. Okay, yeah, that's the key binding. So the command palette gives you access to all of the commands in Visual Studio Code, and closely related to it, which I just used, is the quick open. So this is command P, and this is just what the name implies, allows you to quickly open different files to navigate around your workspace very quickly. You can also see here it prompts me type question to get help, and you can take actions from there. So if we do that, now we can see, oh, show errors and warnings. We can do some extension stuff, go to symbol. If we want to jump down here, we can navigate quickly, get all, remove, add, to-do, store. You can see it executed. So you can not only see the key bindings, but you can also execute the command. So here I folded everything, and I'm going to unfold everything. Okay, after quick open, a few releases ago, we introduced this a command line, a bash command for code. So here you can see we can run code from the command line. And I'm on the insiders release, so to do code-insiders --help. You can see we've recently added a few more options here. One I find especially helpful, and we have some integration with Git here, is we can use VS Code as a diff tool. So if I create a file A and B, some cool thing, write that to A, some neat thing, write that to B, then I can use code to diff A and B. This will open up. And now I can use it as a diff tool as well as a merge tool. So if we wanted to configure that in Git, we can do a git config, and you can read that in the documentation, to set up code as your git diff tool. Now going back to the GUI, let's take a step back and think about the different components here. As power users, we want to be comfortable with our tool and what each part is for. So on the far left here is the activity bar. These activity bar buttons are meant to really aid the core code development build cycle. So File Explorer, that's easy. We can easily open and close this. We call this the sidebar with Command B, so it helps us focus. Or if we want to use the sidebar more, we can do that and spread it out. And then going to global search, that was Command Shift F, which is pretty common. And we can use some other options here if we want to exclude files in our search, include. We also have regex. This Git integration, which you can see we have our two files we just created are here. I'm just going to clean these because I'm not interested in having those in. And then our debug console. So we can use, this is where we move to our debugging activities. So we have the activity bar, the sidebar, now the main editor screen. Now, at the bottom is the status bar. The status bar on the far left is for workspace-specific activities. So we have extensions, Git commands. So this allows us to switch between branches, Git checkout master, or right now I am on demo/start branch. And then we can sync our changes with our remote repo, all right here on the status bar. Many extensions will also add decorations to the status bar, and we'll see one of those today, too. We can also see errors and warnings, so let's add a error here. We'll just do something like this, and now we see we have a bunch of these errors we can cycle through. Then on the far right of the status bar is going to be our editor-specific things, so where our cursor is, and we can also change our language. So let's create, I'm going to open file here in my server. I want to add a new file. We're going to call it our server config. Yes, we'll use the dot. So we actually want to use JSON for this. So we can click down here. We can also find this in the command palette. So we go change language mode, go to JSON. And now we're editing with JSON syntax highlighting. An additional thing we can do here, language mode, we can configure file association for this file. So we've made this customized file. Now we want our editor to remember that this is a JSON file. This takes us to our settings. So, and here's a little prompt telling us we can do that in the files.association section. We're going to close that. So here on the left is our default settings. This is moving into our customization part of Visual Studio Code. Over here is everything that's default, which we don't edit this side. On the right, we overwrite these. So this is what it's explaining right here. Place your settings in this file to overwrite. So we want to have a server config JSON. Okay, now we go back to, so remember this is quick open, server config. Now it remembers JSON, and we'll go back here. There's many things we can do in settings. Obviously, we won't go through each of these, but what you can do is, this is the second most important command that I want you to remember, is to trigger IntelliSense, or to trigger suggest, we do control space, and this brings up all of the different settings. And we're going to find this in any of our JSON files that have a schema mapped to them. We can easily see the IntelliSense for that JSON file. It's incredibly useful. So if we look at, let's say something like, I want to see line numbers. Do we have that? Editor.line. Oh, actually, I think I have it. Right there, there it is. So if we want to get rid of our line numbers, we can do that here. I actually want those to stay. Font size, a whole bunch of different things you can do to customize your editor. Talking again about JSON schemas, here is a custom schema we can write. So I built this server config file. And now I want to write my own schema for that file so I can get IntelliSense for that. So this one, if we just change this to server config, so it matches any files we want to put here. And then we put the schema, the properties, and then the description. So it's going to tell us we can have a string, and then here's the description, name, location, or the properties. So if we go back to server config, I think I need to save this. Settings, there we go. Server config, trigger suggest. There we go. We've got name, call it build conference, location, San Francisco. There we go. So back to settings. And I'm using a key binding to go back and forth with my settings, but you can also do that here, open user settings. If we want to make our So often we have some of these folders that we may or may not want to see all the time. So this is what we can do here with this files exclude. If we don't want to see this pesky DS store, which always shows up on Macs, we can set this to true to exclude it. Or maybe we don't want to see our .vs code folder. So we can set, so you can see that's right there. And now when I save this file, it's gone, which makes it so we can really clean up our workspace. Only to have the files we care about seeing there. I'm going to set some of these to false so we can take a look at them. Okay. Now, key bindings. If we look at, let's open up, customizing our key bindings, this is fairly straightforward as well. We can go in here. Down here we do define key binding, do a command K, command K. We can enter the key binding that we want, and then the name of the commands. So the name of the commands are here on the left, which allows us to customize what we want for our key bindings. There's a few extensions in the marketplace. If you're coming from a different editor, like Sublime or Atom, There's key binding ports that you can install that will put a bunch of key bindings there for you. So we're trying to make it easy to make this editor your editor. Themes, because developers love their themes. I know I do. We can easily switch themes, and we can preview these different themes like this. Does anyone have a favorite here? High contrast, okay. I think he likes this one. Go with that, okay. And finally, snippets. This one's pretty powerful, and also ones we see in other editors. So here's some custom snippets that I wrote to help in building this project. So I can write something like a create component, and then the prefix is going to be the word that I type to have that component auto-triggered. This body is what gets put into place, and I'm going to show you this in just a second. $1, $2 are tab stops. So if I go here to to-do store, let's go with component tab. Now I have that, and I can say new component tab. Type in that JSX syntax. So this can be incredibly helpful to speed up your development. And again, snippets are another extensibility point. So there's a lot of extensions in the marketplace to get more snippets into your workspace. So jumping over to the marketplace, we talk about finding different extensions. Clearly, we can use the search bar here. But also these different categories. So if you're looking for something to help you with debugging specific languages, we can go here, and linters, which is going to be your the errors and warnings that we're looking for. Here's snippets and themes and other. I'm going to show you, not for too much self-promotion, but here's one that I made called Git Blame. So what I was looking for when I was first using Visual Studio Code is I wanted to see on what line I was on, who had last edited that line, which is what Git Blame gives you. So I wanted to see that in status bar. So I made this extension, and this is showing you how to install an extension. We go here, copy, and then we can go back to the product. We do quick open, copy, and then we can install that extension. And it should ask us to restart. There we go. And now you can see at the bottom, last edit made by Wade Anderson 5 days ago. And because I'm the only one that's written this file, I get all the blame. Additionally to going from the marketplace, we can also search inside the product. So here I'm using the command palette, going to this install extension command. Now we see all of the different extensions. It's ordered by number of downloads, and so we can search. Maybe I'm looking for something with React. Okay, here's some React code snippets that I can install, or React Native. Additionally, a new feature that the team just finished is this Show Extension Recommendations. So what happens here is the product is going to, based on the files that you open, tell you what extensions are good for those type of files. So if we run this, it's going to tell me that debugger for Chrome, so this is probably from my JavaScript files, TSLint, and then these are probably from Markdown, so a spelling and grammar check and the Markdown theme kit. So then we can easily install those right here. Alternatively, we can also look at the README, so interested in this debugger for Chrome, go to the README, we can see that right here. Okay. No, I don't want to. Yes, let's restart. Okay, jumping back to settings, one of the most popular features, although when we first put this out, people didn't like it as much, is this autosave. So by default, autosave is off, but we've found it really helpful in our development to use, and a lot of our users really love this. So if we do, we'll say on focus change. Now I don't need to worry about doing Command S to save all my files. It will save anytime I change focus. So similar to how web apps are working and other applications, this has been really helpful in our development and has solved some of the dirty file things that go on when using an editor. Navigating through the file system. So this is a core part of being a power user, is quickly jumping back and forth between files. Some things that have helped me as I've been developing is Control-Tab. We can jump through the history. So I can see this keeps track of the stack of files that I've last been to. I can also use Control-Minus, which is the back command. So go back. And this will take me, I can just go back in time of where I was, or forward if I add Shift to that. What I really like about this is it not only remembers which files, but also my cursor location. So I could be editing down here, or maybe I have a really large file and I'm editing different parts of it. Well, I can quickly jump back and forth between where I want to be and remember where I was editing before. Splitting the editor, we can do that in a couple different ways. So we can either I'll show you here, split editor, command forward slash, can do it like that. Or if you come over here, you can command click. And there we go, now we have files side by side. We can switch between these, if we have three of them, with command 1, 2, and 3. Quickly jump between those, and then we can close it with command W. Quickly close out our files, and then back to the quick open. So if we want to do store, and then quickly see the viewport on the side, we can make those edits. Navigating within files, can do quick open, and we talked about this, navigating by symbol. Then we have by line, so we can go to line 43, line 22. This makes it quick, easy to jump around the editor. Within the file, just like we have our control minus to go back, we can also do command U to jump our cursor back. So this is a soft undo. A cursor undo. Command U was what it is there. And that again is in the repo, so you don't need to remember this. Some other helpful key bindings is this, or editing hacks. Option up and down, so we can move these lines. Option shift will copy the lines. And then if we click this, we do command I, we can select down. And we can move this whole chunk down. And that can be helpful often when you're refactoring code. Whoops. Command I is also useful if you want to select and then delete. You can also see the editor is doing intelligent things for us here, and it's identifying when we are selecting the same thing. So we can see here, if we right-click, new change all occurrences. This will give us our cursor. You can see it's at each of the JSON locations. Say we switch to JSON X or something like that. It edits in all of the locations for JSON in this file, which is very helpful. In code folding, which we've seen, we can do this to hide parts of our code we don't want to see anymore or that are distracting to what we're currently working on. And finally, back to the README, a helpful feature we built here is we can see a quick preview of the README. And if we do this side by side, we can see the preview live while we're doing some other open source project. You can see that right there. So it's helpful when you're composing READMEs for things or other things you're writing for your projects. Okay, that was a lot of commands. Let me stretch my fingers for a second. Okay, we're going to jump now into the application. Now, the application, as you've seen, is written in JavaScript using the latest ES6. It's also using React, so we get this nice JSX syntax. And this is the IntelliSense for this is all powered by the Salsa language service. So if we look here in AppBar, which AppBar is coming from Material UI, we go here, trigger a suggest. So again, if we we can do that with command space, or if we do it here, trigger suggest, we can get the attributes for that specific JSX component. This can be really, you get the full context-aware power of IntelliSense. Let's show a little bit about how this IntelliSense is happening. We have this jsconfig JSON file, and this file is what we configure to say that we're using ES6, Common JS. We can tell our Salsa language service to exclude some folders. So here I'm telling it to exclude node modules and the dist folder distribution, so as to speed things up, so we're not trying to do any intelligent things on our huge node modules tree. And then on top of that, we're using ESLint. So ESLint is actually an extension. Here is how you see the extensions you have installed. So I have these three extensions. ESLint is a linter for ECMAScript. And so we can customize that however we want. So you can, again, VS Code is meant to be have a loosely coupled relationship with these other tools. So it's trying to work well with the existing tools. And here we have this configuration file where you can set up what rules you want to have and what you don't want to have. And then you get that experience in editor. So we have this ESLint, JSConfig, and then our package JSON. This is a node module. We also get IntelliSense here. So we can say, I think there was a repository. Yeah, that's what it was. And easily get the IntelliSense for that. We'll go back out of this. So our application, ES6, it's bundled and built with Webpack. How many of you are familiar with Webpack? Raise your hands. There we go. So not as well known as some of the other build tools like Gulp and Grunt, but it's gained a lot of popularity. What's great about using it with VS Code is, again, we get IntelliSense with it. So here, Webpack, we can see the different methods for Webpack, as well as we can have easy access to the documentation. Documentation's only as good as the people that wrote it, so that one was a little sparse. Here are different loaders. What we do with these loaders is it's bundling our JavaScript and SAS files together into a single JavaScript file called bundle.js. This isn't a Webpack demo, but this is easily configured within Visual Studio Code. And then we run those Webpack commands within our npm scripts. So we have build, dev, serve. And now what Visual Studio Code allows you to do is to configure your build system with the editor. So, of course, we could just run back to our terminal. We could do npm run, okay, npm run dev, and then we can run Webpack that way. And that's fine, and Visual Studio Code plays nice with that, and that's a great workflow. What we have built to allow you, if you want to bring it closer to your editor, you can do this configure task runner. So I'm going to copy this, and then we're going to delete this here. So we're going to reconfigure the task runner. Just want to copy it in case I make a mistake. Configure task runner. So configuring task runner now asks us, are you using Grunt, Gulp? Okay, we're using npm. So there we go. It builds it for us, and just so we don't miss anything, yeah, I was just missing this last dev one. We can now run a task, and let's just name this dev serve. So now we can run this from within VS Code. So I open the command palette, run task, dev serve. And now Webpack is running here in this output. In the output window, you can look at the extensions log, git log, or the task log. Okay, so Webpack, the bundle is now valid. You can see this thing down here running. That's telling us that a task is running. You can see my cursor there. Okay, so that gets our front end running. And I've purposely separated this just for demo purposes, but I also have this server. So we go here to server.js, and we'll just close this. This is a simple node server. And what it's doing for our to-do data is it's providing the data storage for it. So we have just a simple CRUD operations and a RESTful API, so a get, post, delete, to add, remove, and retrieve all of the to-do data. And then we're using, as our data store, just a simple JSON file. Of course, this is meant to be done a little bit differently if you were really building this. So what we want to show here, let's go to server, and I want to set a breakpoint right here, and then I want to start my server. I'm going to start this node app. So how we're going to do that is we're going to look here. I click the debug icon, and then I go up here to the settings screen. So it's the settings of debug, or here it's giving us the tooltip open launch.json. So we open this, and we can see, so this was configured before. I'm going to do the same thing I did before is delete launch.json, so I can show you how this is done. We go here. So right now there's nothing to do. We want to select an environment that we're using, Node.js. And it'll do its best to intelligently figure out. I have a little bit different setup because I have my server.js in my server folder. And I also have this Webpack configuration. So that's why I copied this here. So now it's running, it's going to run a launch debug session on this program. So this is exactly what we want. So now we can start this by clicking the play button or F5. So debugger listening, and should get this starting here. Let's see. Try that again. There we go, listening at port 3001. Okay, that's what we want. Now let's jump over here. Okay, just as I refresh the page, on page load, it's trying to retrieve all the to-do data. So it hits the breakpoint, and now we can see what you'd expect out of a normal IDE. We can now see in a lightweight editor, we can see the what's in this request object. So we see, oh, it has this in the body client. If we go here to the debug screen, we can see even more. So we can see all the variables, the call stack, the different breakpoints we have configured. And then we can do data inspection here in the debug console. So we close that. We can walk through, keep going, go back to our app. Go to build, download VS Code. Nice. Then we can check these off. We'll just make sure these are getting in our data store. There we go. A, B, C, D. Delete B. And B's gone. Good. That's what we expected. Okay. Now, what I want to do to show you, so the other things here, app is a compilation of two components. We have the app bar component and the viewport component. So viewport is something we wrote. We go in here to viewport. We have our to-dos and a new to-do. So what that is, here's the new to-do component. This is the to-dos component. We jump in here. We can see that new to-do consists of a text field with a key down listener, which will add data to the to-do store. So this is how everything's wired together. And then to-dos is a list of to-dos with different text things displayed. And then everything's wired together with this sub pub to-do store. So what I want to do is I want to add a timestamp to these new to-dos as we add them in. So we're going to go in here to add, and let's do a find all references. So what this did is opened up a peak view, and this is pretty cool. We can see over here on the right, we can see the different references. So here's the actual definition of it. And then this is the only place it's called in the code. This will search the workspace, and you can configure where you want the search to go in the preferences. And then this is pretty neat in that we can actually just make the edit right here. So we can do new date, and then you can see I'm getting full IntelliSense to locale date string. And that looks like what I want, and I can get all that information right here. And that will auto-save for me. And we can close that. So what I want to do now is let's go back to the server. Let's put a breakpoint here. And let's add a new one, E. So it comes in. We can look here at to-do. Yep, there's the timestamp, just like how we coded it. Looks great. Continue on. Get rid of that breakpoint. But it's not displaying here, so let's go back to... So again, we're using Quick Open. We can just jump to todos.js. We go down here. And here I have secondary text to remind me where this was in the demo. Let's say I didn't. Let's say I was looking on this attribute, this list item attribute. I could do a few things to try to figure out if there's a secondary text thing here. I could dive in. So this is I'm typing command, and then I click in. Okay, so it takes me up here. Then we can see, okay, it takes me to this. And I can dive into the documentation if I want to see. Go back. That doesn't look super useful. Let's see if IntelliSense can help me out. So we'll go. Trigger a suggest, secondary text, that looks like what we want, and we'll do to-do timestamp, and save. The Webpack builder that we're using is hot reloading, so you can go back there, and there we go, for E. It's not there for A, C, and D, because we already had added those in, but if we delete all those, go to build. Oh, looks like I made a mistake. I just need to refresh. Or if we go back to todos.json, looks like we messed up something here, so our IDs became the same. So easy access to the database, make the change there. There we go. We got them back. And looks like we might have a little bit of an issue here. No fear. We can jump into our Git integration and quickly see what changes we made and see if we introduced this. So here in the Git integration screen, just as we saw before, we could see a diff view. So this is showing app.js, and we can see on the left side is the original. Red clearly is meaning that it was removed. And green is meaning that it was added. Now, this one's a little confusing because it looks like I removed a space is what that's telling us there. So we can do a few things here. We can add the file. So this is our unstaged changes. So let's say, yeah, we can add that. I don't care about the space. This new to-do, so timestamp, new date to locale string, that looks good. This is especially helpful on Teams when you're doing code reviews. You can easily pull someone over, grab them here. Of course, there's other Git GUI things, but we found bringing it closer to the editor has been a good experience. And then you can easily make changes right here. Say instead of new date, and notice we also get the IntelliSense in here. We say to locale time string. Instead of the date string, let's do the time string. And then we can commit, we can stage that. We go here to do timestamp. Looks good. And here to do store. Looks like these are the methods that I moved up and down. So we can see if there's any issues there. Looks like we're good. So we'll add that. Now, before we commit, we'll go through with the full commit here. What we do is we stage those changes. We can write the commit message. So we're going to say added timestamp to to-do. We commit that. If we decide that we wanted to undo that last commit, we can easily do that right here in the editor. It pulls it back, and then we can reapply that right here. Or we can choose this, which you're probably guessing is clean. We can also do a stage all if we have a whole bunch of files and we're sure we want to stage them. Added timestamp. Commit. And then if we want, we can go right here and push. Pull, rebase, we can do a whole bunch of commands, and you could expect this will continually be built out. If we want to get a look at what commands Visual Studio Code is running for Git, and I find this helpful if I'm wanting to learn how Git is operating under the hood, we can see this output right here. And this is showing the differences, Git show, here's the Git commit. We can see those different things. And okay, so we're going to go back here. I want to make one more change. When I'm looking at this code right here, find all references again. There's other things you can see here in the context menu, and the key binding is right there. The peak definition we can also do, although I'm looking at the definition, so that one doesn't help as much. We can also do a go-to definition if we want to navigate to the file. So we're going to do the find all references again to find this guy. And I'm going to double-click, so I'm here. Oh, actually, I wanted to go back, so we'll go back. Find all references. So what I want to do is I want to, instead of having this object literal, I actually want to use our class. So with the snippet, I'm going to use class tab. This wasn't exactly what I wanted because I didn't want to export this. This looks like I had it set up for if I was doing a new file. So I want to actually go in and edit that snippet while I'm here. So I'll do command palette snippets JavaScript. And here's that class ES6. And this is great. So like I showed you before, these are the tab stops. So I want to add another tab stop here inside the constructor. And all it is just an array of strings. So I'm saying here's the first string, second string, third string, so forth. And I just want to take off these last two because I want to be able to create multiple classes inside the same module. So I save that. And let's navigate back. There we go. And now we can say, so this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to look at this here so that I could easily refactor it. So let's use my class tab. So now I'm going to say to do data tab here. And what I want to do is I want to, instead of having the object literal, have text equals text, this ID equals ID, and then let's do text here, ID, and then we'll just create the timestamp here, and then we can, this is why having this open is nice. I can just copy that, put that here. Then what we'll do is we'll change, instead of in this method on key down, instead of passing in an object literal, I just want to pass in the text. So you can see my text object right here. So as I double click into the peak window, it took me here. Text. Now I want to go back. Okay, I'm back. And now instead of to do, I want to add text. And I want to refactor this guy. So we're going to say let to do equals new to do data. And we're going to pass in text, this.id count. And we're going to get rid of these guys, right? Yeah, that's assigned now in the constructor, so we're passing that in. And I failed to call out. I really like this. Even on my custom class here, I can see the prompt for what I should be adding in. Oh, here's a warning from ESLint. So I can do this ID count. Great. And I think the rest should be the same. So now we're adding to do then. And because I was running into that data issue, what I want to do is I want to terminate the running task, and we're just going to restart it. And we're going to start it with a fresh database so we don't run into issues like that. Good. Okay. Now we're going to do task run, dev serve. And this is building for us. Bundle is now valid. Refresh. Nice. It's looking good. It's even doing the locale time string now. Of course, we can easily go back and forth and change that. Add all those guys in. Getting into the database fine. And it's looking good. Okay, so in review, we went over the basics, ways to customize your editor, different file and folder navigation techniques, editing hacks, IntelliSense, snippets. We talked about Git integration, debugging, task running. And at the bottom, I just put these other, so there's all these animated GIFs and things. You can see this demonstrated. Basically, you can relive this whole presentation right here in the repo. There's links to our official docs, the sample app, as well as some other another tips and tricks repo from the community that we really like. So switching gears here for the last few minutes, wanted to just call out a few of the cool new extensions in the marketplace, and specifically from some of our partners, internal partners at Microsoft. So one of the extensions I mentioned we're excited about is this C++ extension. So this will bring C++ debugging in IntelliSense to Linux. So here's it's in preview mode right now, so you can go and install it. It does have some limitations that they call out here, but a really cool experience that they've showed us with editing and debugging for C++ code. If that's a language that you're using or that your company's using. Some other popular extensions is this Python extension. So if you write Python scripts, this one has a lot of popularity. You can see over 32,000 downloads. And a lot of work has gone into this. So this is actually from the community as well, not a Microsoft internal. So this adds everything I just showed you with JavaScript, you can also get with Python. And the beauty of this that we like from a product team perspective is it doesn't come with the core product. So if you're not into Python, this is fine because you can download the product and you don't have to worry about having a whole bunch of Python stuff there. You're only going to get what you want. But if you do want Python, this is all available to you. So this Python extension has had some great reviews. You can see he's put a lot of time into these different GIFs to show off the debugging features and the IntelliSense features. In this Ruby extension, we've been really happy with playing with as well. Adds debugging for Ruby. And now I want to invite Jeremy up. His team is the Visual Studio Team Services, and they have recently launched an extension. So here, give it up for Jeremy to show off his extension.
So does anyone here use Team Services today? Or Team Foundations or Server? One or the other? All right, nice. So I'm happy to see a few of you out there. The rest of you, maybe I can convince you. Let me get in here real quick. And so VS Code's an awesome app. I use this all the time on my Mac. It's really great for doing super fast editing. I use it mainly for a lot of my web development. And one of the things that I'm always wondering is, what's going on with my repo? What's going on with my build? So if you've used Team Services, what it is basically an end-to-end DevOps solution. We have agile management tools. You have Git repositories that are stored there. You have an entire build and release system. So you can kind of get that end-to-end view of what's going on with your application. And what we try to do is bring all of that right into VS Code, so it's right at your fingertips. So down at the bottom, like VS Code has this great version control section. So I can see what branch that I'm in. I can go ahead and see how out of date I am for master, what I need to push up to the top. And what we've done is add a couple other things related to version control and CI just right there next to it. So you can see which team project you're in. So that's kind of the container in Team Services. You can think of this basically as kind of your Git repo, if you will. I can also see the number of pull requests that I've created. So I can quickly jump onto those and see what's going on. And I can also see my build status. So I can see, okay, the last build for this specific branch built, everything's looking good. If there was an error, I could see that too. But it's not just about getting status, it's actually interacting with the service. So I can click on these. As you would expect, it takes me to the web. I can see what's going on with my builds. I can see there were some failures and some successes. I can click right here, and we jump up to that command palette we were talking about earlier. So I can go ahead and see the individual pull requests right there, and I can see what's going on with them. I can just click one and navigate right there. So it's basically just trying to bring together everything you have in Team Services, just make it a little bit closer. And then there's even more with that command palette. So like we were talking about before, command P, do a greater than symbol, and then I can just type team. And then what you'll see is a whole bunch of commands that we've integrated right into there. So I can create a bug, create a pull request, create a task, a work item. If you've used Team Services, you'll know that we have a lot of different work item templates that you can use. So you can pick Agile, CMMI, Scrum, you can customize them, you can create your own different work item types. Well, we've brought that all in. So let's say I go create work item, click on that. We're gonna go up to the service and we're actually gonna pull down the exact set of work item types that you have. So you're not hunting and guessing, you're not going to the web and then having to go change what that type of work item is and figure out what it is. You can do right here. So I can go over here and say, hey, I'm gonna file a feature, click right there, launch off to the web. I think you're seeing a pattern here. Go over here, team. I can go ahead and send feedback right from the products. This is great. So I can go through here, let's say send a smile. They love it. And that'll come right to my inbox, and I can go through and see all the feedback you guys send. So if there's anything interesting that you want added, feel free to use send feedback. I actually look through this every single week. And then a couple other commands. I can go through here. Like we said, I can view blame on the web, so I can see that full blame history. I go through, see a build summary. I can view the history, the Git history on the web. Go through here, and also I can jump into my work item queries. So I can go right here. And it'll pull from that My Query sections if you're used to Team Services. And you can see that I've got two here. One of them is All Features. I can click on this. And then I can quickly see what are all the features assigned to me. And I can just click on one of those to jump back on and submodule support and go in and look at what's going on with that specific feature. So this is our first attempt at a VS Code extension. It's been a great experience building one, getting up on a marketplace, partnering with the VS Code team. You should definitely check out some of the extensions that are there, check out ours, and give Team Services a try if you're looking for any sort of Git or CI or Agile solution. Great, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Okay, so just in closing, invite you to download and try Visual Studio Code. If you downloaded it a year ago, it's really changed. There's a lot of new things in it, so we invite you to try it out. There's the links to the two repositories, and you can, I'll just leave this slide up here for the next few minutes, so you can write those down or take a picture. There's a mini theater for native script later today. They built a Visual Studio Code extension. They asked us to invite you, and we're excited about what they're doing there. And then also, we have a UX guy here. Raise his hand. I don't know where. Just right outside the doors, our UX design team are asking for some help on some feedback for Visual Studio Code. So we're offering challenge points. So earn some challenge points. Give us 3 minutes of your time. Just doing some flash voting. So it should be pretty quick, but it's just right outside the door. So we invite you to do that. Well, thank you for coming today. If you all stand up here, I'd love to talk to you and connect more. Thank you.